Here's the truth concerning all believers in the Messiah. Some of us enter the kingdom of God with a little bad baggage, and some of us enter with a full semi-truck load of bad baggage. That's just the way it is. And because of our type of bad baggage and the amount of our bad baggage, we sometimes have problems believing what God has to say about us. So what I want to briefly do is let's look at four common situations where our wrong thinking causes us to do wrong. Remember this? Some famous guy once said, how you think is, you forget already? How you think is how you feel is how you do. Say it with me again. How you think is how you feel is how you do. You think wrong, you're not going to feel right. You think wrong, you're going to do wrong. That's just the way it is. That's why we have to have our mind renewed by the washing of the Word of God so we change our thinking, so we can think right and feel right and do right. Situation number one. You believe God has told you to do something that you've never, ever done before. You think about what needs to be done to do God's will. And you hear yourself saying, I'm not able to do that. It's just impossible for me to do that. Now, I've thought that many times. As my family knows, I'm not Mr. Tools. I don't do tools. My wife has more tools than me. You're laughing. This is a true statement. If something goes wrong, she says, call one of the deacons or call one of your kids. My sons are quite handy. I don't know where they get this from. Not from my side of the family. I think my dad had a couple screwdrivers, a hammer, duct tape. I don't know. He was not a tool guy neither. But that's just the way it is. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says this, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. See, I love that scripture, because sometimes Pat will say, you can do it. You can do it. I think, no, I can't do it. She says, you can do it. So I pray, say, God, I need your help. And you know what? I do it. God is saying, if I give you something to do, by my grace, you're able. If God gives you something to do, you'll be able, even though you don't think you can. By God's grace, you can do it. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ because he gives me strength. James 1:5 says, but if any of you needs wisdom, you just don't have the smarts to do this stuff. You should ask God for it. He's generous and enjoys giving to all people, and so he'll give you wisdom. So God is saying, if I give you something to do, you can do it through my strength and my wisdom. Now, I'm preaching to myself is what I'm really doing here. Situation number two. For some of you, before you were a believer or born again, you were a nasty person who did terrible things. And today you're having a hard time forgiving yourself. And because you feel you're not worthy, you're having a hard time accepting the blessings of God. I'm not going to ask who you might be. I'm sure a few hands would go up. Let's see what God has to say about this. In 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, not to a priest, but to God, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive all our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Confess your sins to God. You know, God knows what you did already. I mean, but he wants you to confess them. He wants you to know what you did. He wants you to speak them so he can forgive you. In Romans 8, verses 1 and 2, I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, the faithful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ's being here for us no longer, have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from the fatted lifetime of brutal tyranny in the hands of sin and death. In other words, when you become a believer in Messiah, you're no longer judged guilty by your past sins. And if God sets you free by paying the price for your past sins, it's a terrible thing to put yourself into bondage when God already forgave you. It's like God takes your sins, buries them in the sea of forgetfulness, and then puts up a sign that says, no fishing. It's something like the movie Saving Private Ryan. I mean, the guys have seen this. I don't know if you women have seen. How many of you have seen the movie? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, it's the last scene where they're on the bridge. They're trying to blow up. Now, before the lieutenant of the squad, which found Private Ryan, died, he whispered into Private Ryan's ear to live a life worthy of the death of all those men who died to get him home. And many years later, at the lieutenant's grave, Ryan went to visit the gravesite, and he turns to his wife and he asked, did I live a good life? Tell me, I lived a good life. In the same way, Yeshua paid the price so we would not have to feel guilty about our past sins. And if you choose to confess, not to confess, and you continue to feel guilty about those sins, and you refuse to forgive yourself, you're nullifying some of the reality of what Yeshua did for you on the cross. Who are you not to forgive yourself when God forgives you? In John 8, verse 31, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, my Talmudim. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. And I'm thinking, who are you trying to kid? What about Egypt? How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free. You will be free indeed. So if you're having trouble forgiving yourself, I'm going to give you a suggestion. Ready? Stop it. Stop it. Stop being self-centered and be thankful that God, the God of the universe, has forgiven you and does not hold those past sins against you. Situation number three. You might be a believer, yet you live with many fears. Some logical and some illogical fears. It's a fact that many elderly fear things that younger people don't fear, and vice versa. But regardless of your age, God has something to say about your fears. In 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give us a spirit that makes us afraid, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. God doesn't make you fearful. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety, that's a subtle type of fear, on him because he cares for you. Like the guy says, I don't get angry, I don't have fearful, I just get vexed in my spirit. I don't care what you call it, it's still not good. To be afraid of a natural, to be afraid is actually a natural feeling. And a clear evidence of God's grace is at work in your life is when you're not afraid, when you used to be afraid before you became a believer. Okay, the last situation, situation number four. You believe God has something for you to do, but you feel you don't have enough faith. Romans 12:3 says, God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. You have faith. I mean, think about faith. You got faith. There's a stop sign over here. Cars are coming. And you have faith that they're going to stop and not run you over. So you walk out in front of that moving car knowing you have faith that he's going to see a sign and stop. Hello. You got faith. Think about this. Would God give you something you can't do through him? No? No. If God would never give you something to do that you could not do, even with his help. And usually God will often have us do things or endure various hardships to stretch our faith. Why? To mature us. Look at James 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Okay, let's be honest. Is anybody going through a trial right now? Money, health, children. Hey, come on, be honest. Almost everybody's hands. You're not going through a trial? I bet you are. I think we're all going through some type of a trial. Consider it joy. What? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. How can that be? Because you know, now you got to know this, that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You know, when you've been in the Lord a while, you've gone through a lot. You've gone through good, bad, ugly, all kinds of stuff. And you hung in there. You hung in there. You felt like quitting, going back to the old ways. But you don't. You persevere. And what happens is you mature. You mature. You hung in there. And you've grown. You've grown. And then you go through something else. You hang in there. And you grow again. And you hang in there because something else comes on you. You grow again. And then the older age stuff happens with older, when older you get. They call it, like my brother and I were talking, call it the golden years. Who named it that? Some 21-year-old kid probably named it the golden years. What's the golden? They're the rusted years, you know? And so you go through stuff. You go through stuff. And you know what? You persevere and you grow. Before you know it, you're 7 feet tall. You've really matured. This is what God wants for us. He wants us to mature in him. But we have to go through stuff. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. I broke my hip. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, well, yeah, it hurts. Yeah, it's inconvenient. But you know what? You're going to heal and you're going to get through it. You're going to get through it. God didn't push you down. No, you fell. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So you should leave here joyful because you're going through something. We're gonna mature. So who are you going to believe anyways? You're going to believe God or are you going to believe someone else? Who are you going to believe? You're going to believe God or how you feel? Who are you going to believe? You're going to believe God or your situation? Who do you choose to believe? I choose to believe God in all situations. That's just the way it is. Remember that song? I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, we'll go Yeshua. This is Beth Messiah. I have decided to follow Yeshua. I have decided to follow Yeshua. I have decided to follow Yeshua. No turning back. No turning back. And that's just the way it is. There's no turning back. No matter what you go through, you hang in there with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand together, please. I want you to receive this blessing, the Aaronic blessing. Yevarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai panav alecha v'chunecha. Yisei Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lacha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace, peace in your heart, no matter what you're going through, knowing that your God says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. In Yeshua's precious name, we all said, amen. God bless you. If you have a prayer need, come on forward. We'll pray for you. Otherwise, I'll see you in the